Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Dean Moss. My name is Tia, and I am your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance, please key star zero on your telephone where an operator will assist. I would like to advise all parties this conference is being recorded, and now I'd like to hand over to Dean. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, good afternoon, everybody. I'm joined in the room by Tracy. As always, we'll start with close calls and accidents for last week. So close calls raised last week, got a total of 40, with 87% closed within the 90 days, which is an excellent achievement. So I'm just reading the smallest font in the world here. So we had four accidents. So while walking to a location case from Richmond Station off the up platform, there was a concrete block from a footbridge going over the top of the railway that was head height. Unfortunately, whilst walking underneath the footbridge, the injured person hit the front of his head against the said concrete block. He was wearing his hard hat at the time, and the impact was underneath the visor of the hard hat. That was at Richmond. We had another accident at Byfleet. So whilst the injured person was moving from the forefoot towards the cess in the vicinity of the location case, the injured person tripped up on the point boarding, which resulted in falling into the cess. He received bruising as a result of breaking his fall. The next accident we had is at Cosham. So whilst undertaking his duties as a distant lookout, the injured person signaled to come back towards the work group. When he started to walk, he tripped over a small tree stump that was overhanging in the safe cess, causing him to hurt his right hand side. First aid was administered and he seemed okay. And then the final one we had last week was a COS in a team of vegetation work. We were looking for nests, for bird nests. He came across a bird nest where he was going to tie back and yellow tape to alert others aware of where it was. However, he came into contact with a bee's nest where he then received a bee sting on his neck. So four accidents last week. We also had two near misses. We're going to talk about those later. That is why Tracy is with me in the room. So talking about these things, I wanted to move on to the Nobel False Widow Spider. What is it? It's a spider. It's found in southern England, but recently started to spread northwards. The males live for around a year, and females for up to 3 years, and the numbers generally pick up between July and November. So they're usually found in dark corners, around buildings, in gardens or open spaces. So really, they're found everywhere. They are sly and rather sluggish. How you can tell if you've got one of those nesting, they build up quite a large tangled web of non-sticky but very strong silk. So it's normally like a little ball of a web. It's normally built in a corner or partly hidden in a deep crack or a hole. So the reason I'm talking about that is we had a bee sting. So this false widow spider bite has been compared to a wasp sting, but it poses a limited threat to humans or domestic animals. However, you don't want it to. You don't want one of those. Though the bite is more toxic than any normal British species, there are a few confirmed cases of human injury with no records of a serious wound. So, if you see one and you get bitten by one, obviously call NHS 111 or seek medical advice if you have a serious allergic reaction. Don't be overly concerned. The chances of being bitten are extremely small, so just be aware when you're going into those low cases, into the point heating containers that you haven't been in for a while, just have a look out for them, and if you see them, just be a bit more careful. On this documentation, there is a toolbox environmental sheet with it, so if you find one, there's a database where we can put some stuff on.
There was one last year.
What's
that? Yeah, Guildford Depot. Allergic reaction. He was off for 4 or 5 weeks.
Really?
It was inside the depot building. So yeah, we had a lost time injury as a result of a false widow spider attack.
Keep your eye out. So this is something that's dear to Carl Dunkley's heart, and I'm sure Mr. Ladden as well. This is Japanese knotweed. This is all on the Safety Centre if you want to have a look at that. So what is Japanese knotweed? It's an invasive non-native species that is found throughout the British Isles, having first been introduced in the 1800s. It does not produce seed, but spreads either by continuous growth underground or through spare parts to the plants to its new locations. That can spread from something as small as 1 centimetre. It's very, very rapid growing. It can grow up to 2 metres in 30 days, and its ability to force its way through tarmac, concrete, and all that good stuff. So some nasty bits of stuff. So we've got this on our network. We have MSTs where we have to treat it. If we see it, we need to be reporting it. So it's treated with pesticides according to the label. Obviously, if Carl's on, he'd be able to tell me all about it. It's normally mid-April to mid-October. So it's continued annually when we're monitored on it. So if you see it, can we report that to OffTrack, please? Okay. So this is a safety bulletin. This is our life-saving rules, test before touch. The location is Barnham in Sussex, so just off our patch. So I'll give you an overview of what the incident was. So technicians were sent to investigate an II alarm. The alarm was raised by a piece of equipment known as a Bender Earth Monitoring System, which we have got across nearly all of our lokes in Wessex and other, yeah, so. People know what that Bender is. I'll go into that in a second. So what the staff did when we turned up to site, they used a Volt stick at the location to carry out the test before touch life-saving rule. So we've issued these out to everybody already. So following that test before touch rule, avoided the risk of electrical shock because the cabinet was found to be live at 200 volts. Team then used rubber gauntlets and used to access the location, and a short circuit was observed on the 650 volt chamber located at the bottom of the signaling cabinet, which was then isolated and the repair carried out. So a very important life-saving rule used there. So please discuss. So if anybody wants to have a discussion about location cabinets and Bender units, when would you test a signaling load cabinet, and how would you check to detect it was safe to touch? If you notice smoke or sparks coming, what would you do? And what precautions should be applied when investigating low installation values of 650 volt feeder systems? So if there's anyone on from EMP or S&T who wants to say anything? So Tina, if I open up to questions, if anybody wants to, before we go on to...
Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received and you'll be advised when to ask your question. All of the lines will remain on listen only, so just to remind you to ask a question, key star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. There are no questions at the moment, so just to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, key star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key.
Okay, we'll move on to the main bit of this conversation. So, this is all about the near misses we've had across the network. 4 near misses in the last week, and 2 of those have been on the Wessex route. So the purpose of the next few minutes on this topic is to promote discussion on the biggest risk to the workforce safety, the near miss with the train. As I said, the trend continues to rise, and it's not the time to assume it could not happen to you. If you've got any feedback on any ideas, that's Tracy's in the room, safety reps, help, or line managers. So I'll briefly go through the 2 incidents, and then we can have a discussion about that. Okay, so Wessex, a near miss was reported with 2 contractors. They were Balfour Beatty working at Godalming, were alleged to be working without a lookout in the forefoot as a train approached, a line speed of 60 miles an hour. And the second one was a near miss was reported by a P-Way supervisor, who alleged to have been slow to acknowledge on the approaching train at Rains Park, and that line there is 60 miles an hour. So what Tracy has produced for everybody is a near-miss location. So in our safety cascade, it did have, there's two in here now, the, one of them had all of the accidents on it. Now we've, Tracy's put something together with all the near-misses, and it shows a worryingly high trend down the WPH1 and up in the inners area. So WHP1 is on my patch, so we're going to go and have a little chat about that.
So shall I interject a little bit? So in terms of numbers, in the last 2 years, there were six in 15-16, eight in 16-17, and on Wessex we have had two in week four of period one. So that makes me excessively worried about the trend continuing to go in the wrong direction. We will post it later, but on the slide in the safety cascade, what I've depicted there are all of those near misses that have occurred in the last 2 years and 1 month. Very pretty, so you know which route is which. Right, okay, so.
So. We've been talking about take five a couple of times on here now. So when your COS needs to review the SAUTs and the team must be stood down and remain in a safe place of work until the COS instructs otherwise, it is important at all times, whilst on track, to reach a clear understanding, repeat back instructions to verify the message that has been understood. To achieve our safety vision of everyone home safe every day, we must take care of each other. Throughout the day, take breaks and be aware of the concentration levels of our teammates. And if you believe you've been involved in a near miss, you need to report it immediately to WIC, stating a near miss of a train has occurred. That's really, really important.
What we do know is in the first, well, the one last year actually, which did involve contractors, is there was a miscommunication when they phoned the ICC. And the important bit about that is the use of the words close call. So the guys reported it as a close call, and of course the ICC operator said, well, you've got the wrong line, mate, and referred them to the close call reporting line. So there is an element of being clear it is a near miss with the train should you be involved in those incidents. So the ICC know exactly what to do in response. Interesting, low set of words were all written by Miriam McLennan, who was a RAM for off-track and drainage, because she was a line manager effectively responsible for those people who could have got killed. So, high numbers, worried about the WPH2. Take five is a really useful tool because, you know, 5 minutes, 5 seconds to think about stuff is obviously going to potentially save you a lot of stress, heartache, and potential injury later on. Right. Now, although we've highlighted the WPH1 over the last couple of years, that does not mean to say we do not have a problem in other locations. So obviously the longest line is the BML1, I think, and it has its fair share of incidents. But we've also had them on the BTH2, Leatherhead, and Epsom, and the BKE and the AAB, which are smaller routes going out from the BML1 across to Reading. And where does the AOV go to? Do we know? Up to immaterial. It is a smaller route, so it is not just our main arterial routes that suffer, and it's not all focused on the BML1, surprisingly enough.
So just be aware, everybody, what you need to do. So does anyone want to interject with anything about talking about near misses? How we can promote safety better.
If you wish to make a comment, press star 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. We do have a caller on the line, so it comes from the line of...
Brian Scott.
Please go ahead.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Dean. Just one thing for us poor beanies. When you're referring to line references, can you just let us know where they are, out of curiosity? I think I'm assuming WPH is Woking at Portsmouth somewhere, is it?
Okay, so yeah, so that's Rowlands Castle to Godalming.
So thanks, mate, that's all.
Okay.
Cheers.
That's fine.
There are no further callers waiting to comment.
Okay, so just to wrap up then, Tracy, we've also gone through some near miss most common factors. So obviously red zone working. All those individuals who are working didn't think it could happen to them. If we do a last minute change, group resources, the work activity, just go, check it out, and then the SABS was just not good enough. So who's more at risk? The stats show us that Iowa's. Small groups of two or three people, all holding calls and lookout, take more chances if they're used to be working, if they're used to working together. Are they too overconfident? Or the other way, are they inexperienced and too enthusiastic? And then we've got people who are not too fussy about all the SALPs they get and accept the mistakes. Okay, so as we have no other questions, I've talked about what I wanted to talk about, unless you've got anything else, Tracy?
No, only if everybody could go through the safety cascade for the near miss special and have those debates, because we need to continue to highlight this risk. Because it is the number one risk to our workforce at this moment in time. Working alongside trains is not something that you can take lightly. So working red zone brings with it huge risks. And we really do have to think about whether that is the right thing to do anymore.
Okay. Thank you, Tracy. Okay, thanks, everybody.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining and have a very good day.